All right, welcome back to another Sheep Farm podcast. I think this is episode 191. It's no wonder I've got grey hair, or no hair even. Christian's got three strands left. So
they're all grey.
Yeah. Are your nostril hair's grey yet, Chris?
Found a grey hair on my chest the other day.
Did you? What, just one on its own?
No novelty.
well done. Are you babysitting as well as recording tonight?
Yeah, Mrs. has selfishly gone out with the mates.
Right.
So if I have to scoot off for a minute, it's because my nipper's upstairs. Or she might just turn up next to the night sometimes.
Yeah, just staring at you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's all good.
Tonight, before I introduce my guest, we've got Ian Davis, multiple authors, authored three books. One of them in 2019, probably correct me if I've got the wrong date, A Dangerous Ideology, which I think we're probably a bit of ahead of its time. We'll talk about it anyway when he comes on, because he was talking about stuff really that happened about 6 months after he'd written it, I think. And also in 2021, pseudo pandemic. I think we all know what that means. And recently he's written about the Manchester attack. Welcome, Ian.
Oh, thanks very much, gentlemen. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Not a problem. I know the last one, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned your book and your reporting of the Richard Diol case, which we'll come to, on your Substack. I think it were a 4 or 5 part documentation of the actual trial, if you call it a trial, whitewash or whatever you want to call it, kangaroo court. And I mentioned it on the podcast, and then you got in touch, which were great, because sometimes getting older people is difficult, isn't it? Because everyone's busy.
I heard what you said. In fact, it was one of your listeners contacted me and said, "Oh, have you heard Dom and Chris talking about this?" So I had a listen, and I got in touch with you. I thought, right.
Richard's somebody who started watching going back when he started his TV show up on Edge Media in 2009, and I was pretty ill at that point. I'd left work and what have you, and it was good to see somebody actually talking about stuff I was thinking about. And people say that about us, and I'm sure you have it said to you as well, that you kept on going through a lot of the nonsense that's been going on over the last few years, and Richard's somebody who helped me, so it does pass on that information and help people over different time periods of their life as well. Can you tell people where they can get hold of you and see your stuff first before we start? Because I generally forget to mention
that. No problems. My main thing's if you go to my website, which is iandavis.com, and it's all one word, Ian Davis, but Ian is spelled I-A-I-N, and it's Davis, not Davies. I write on Substack, so it's iandavis.substack.com. But I'm very fortunate that my work is often printed by, republished by other people. So I write original pieces for Geopolitics and Empire, Unlimited Hangout, also for Bitcoin Magazine. And I'm very lucky that my work is often reshared by Off Guardian. So you can normally find my stuff out there somewhere. Main place is really sort of come to my website and go to my Substack if you want to read the latest stuff, really.
Yeah, and it's very interesting stuff. How often do you write new articles here?
It depends. I mean, I'm writing a long one at the moment, so that's taking me a while. I sometimes go through little periods where I might knock out a couple a week or something like that, but it depends very much what the project is. I haven't written a lot over the last, obviously, while I've been writing the book, because it took me a fair few months to put the book together. So, a lot of the content that I'd put in the book, I'd already researched. So that was a bit of a
That
That's
Bonus.
saved me a bit of time because I mean the biggest thing about writing anything is the research rather than writing it. It's you know checking that you've got your facts straight as much as you can. But I'm writing an article at the moment about the quote unquote riots. I mean I hesitate to use that term because I mean I think what we were looking at was more like some reasonably limited civil unrest. Nothing compared to you know things that we had in 2011, and one of the things that I've done is in this new piece that I'm writing at the moment is go through some of the history of you know genuine civil disorder, like big scale riots, what you might genuinely call riots. I mean one of the things, so for example, I mean one of the I looking at things that you find out. So the 1780 Gordon riots, which were sectarian riots in London. They lasted for a week. And the estimate of the number of people that died during those riots is 700.
Right.
So just to
That's all
put things
right,
into
isn't it?
perspective, but I mean, you know, even in you know, in 2011, five people died in those in those
The Tottenham
riots,
riots.
the Tottenham riots. In 2020. There were far more arrests than there have been in the, than there have been recently, and the number of arrests is going up. But I mean, I looked at the miners' strike. So the miners' strike, 1984 to 1985, they're making a big deal at the moment about 1,000 arrests. There's only been less than 500 prosecutions so far that are related to the disorder. During the miners' strike, there were 11,000 arrests and 8,000
I think
prosecutions.
they were all from Barnsley and all.
Yeah. Well, I think the Welsh might have something to say about that, but you know, it's you know, so I mean, putting things into perspective, and I think there's so much manipulation. I've been looking at some research that are coming out of groups like Lynn Global and Hope Not Hate. The basis for that research is really shonky. I mean, one of the basic claims that is really shonky that I've discovered is, you know, the idea was given that there were people posting stuff on social media. So if we take what happened at Southport, the claim was there was a false claim about a name Ali. I'm going to murder this Al Shakarti or Shakarti, I think that was the, it doesn't really matter because the name was false. That was put out on social media by accounts like people like Bernie Spofforth and people like that they put this, and that this led to riots. So when they're talking about information that was, or they were calling it disinformation. People like Mariana Spring was calling it disinformation, and that led directly to riots. That's the claim. But the thing is, all of that information had been clarified by Merseyside police on the 29th of July. The police had already told everybody and made a public statement, and the in articles, including the BBC, had written articles saying that, you know, no, that's incorrect information. The guy was born in Cardiff to Rwandan parents, and you know, he's not called Ali Shaptari, and all of this is nonsense. So everybody knew that on the 29th of July, but the disorder didn't erupt in Southport until the 30th of July, which was the next day. So there's no causal link. None. There is no causal link between the so-called disinformation that was put out on social media and people kicking off. There's no direct link there. So the whole basis that this started, the supposed claim, is highly questionable, I would suggest.
Yeah, I think you've been light on that probably as well.
I know when I looked early on, and my first reaction was when I was at work, when someone brought it up, I said, one thing I noticed straight away was they were using the same footage over and over again as they always do, to try and escalate it and make it look like it were a big drama. Would you be right in saying that the media just made it try and, well, just by them talking about it over and over again and showing the same footage over and over again, just basically propagandizing people that there was some massive, all England was on fire, I think I heard one one quote from an American. So imagine what they're getting, you know, their version of events, what's happening in England.
Yeah, I think the Telegraph reported it was so severe that a number of countries had issued travel warnings not to come to the UK because it was so dangerous.
Yeah, it's a classic, isn't it? They did that with knife crime as well. Americans stopped coming to London.
Yeah.
Because they just thought everyone were walking around with switchblades stabbing each other.
Yeah, and that's a good example, isn't it? Yeah. People won't, you know, the people overreact. But, one thing that I noticed, another thing, so there were, by the 8th of August, there'd been 420 arrests, right? So that's gone higher now. I think there's been over 1,000 arrests now. But by the 8th of August, so a week after it, and bearing in mind it all petered out by about the 3rd and the 4th of August, it was all pretty much over. 420 arrests, right? Well, during the poll tax riot, which was one night in London, there were 380 arrests in one night. So if you go, whatever measure you look at it by, whether you look at it at the number of arrests, the number of prosecutions, the number of people injured, the number of people killed, there weren't any, you know, if by whatever measure you go by, you cannot call what has just happened in, you know, certainly in terms of recent British history, you know, even really recent history, you know, like 2011, which was during the internet age, you know, so that was a time of people using social media. Although a lot of the stuff that happened around that was focused on people using the BlackBerry messaging system that kicked off a lot of they were communicating with each other on BlackBerry. But, you know, by whatever measure you look at it at, this is not no big deal. And also, I don't mean that to minimise the impact, because obviously, you know, the people that were living in the areas that did get trashed, that were seeing all this street violence going on, of course, for those people, it was very distressing. I'm not minimising that at all. But I'm just saying, if we step back and look at it a bit more calmly, then there's not really any sign of any kind of massive kind of civil unrest that's flared up across the country. And, you know, there was an obvious, you know, a murder of some children that was the straw that broke the camel's back in a lot of communities. And something else that I've been looking at is in the reasons behind, the actual reasons behind a lot of that tension. That community tension, you know, there is undoubtedly there, but why? You know, what's happened? So if you look at these regions where, the correlation between, there's many things that play into this, but the correlation between the influx of European and non-European migrants into a region, the lack of investment in that region, the lack of employment opportunities, the collapse of local services, all of this, there's no investment going into these places, no new job creations going on, no infrastructure investment. None of that's happening. Plus, considerable inward migration. So the population's building, the population's getting bigger, the cultural shift is faster in these regions than it is anywhere else in the UK. So these things are all combining in these places to cause, you know, let's face it, racial tension. That's happening between communities. Now, I'm not defending, you know, people attacking mosques.
Yeah.
You know, quite obviously,
yeah,
you know, there's no legitimate reason for that. But if you're just going to, if the government are then going to say that this is all because of racist thugs being shipped in and kicking off.
It's not true, is it? It's
no.
It's not true. It's not no. true. Because the people to blame are the people letting them in, or people allowing them in. And everybody thinks all these people are coming over on a rubber dinghy, right?
Yeah.
And that's nonsense. There's a very, very small minority that come over on a rubber dinghy, and they're probably passed from halfway across the channel by French to the French to the British, and then pictures are taken of a few people on a dinghy. Most of them fly in, most of them are allowed in, either going to universities or work or whatever. That's where most of the migrants come in from. And they've been allowed in.
If you think if you're going to think it's not an orchestrated event, long term, how come the exact same things happen in America at the exact same
and
time?
France, all and across France. Europe,
all across Europe, and in America with the
Canada.
Mexico border,
yeah.
So like the COVID nonsense, everything's happening at exactly the same time. I tell you something interesting, fellas. I was talking to a guy at work, and this really shocked me actually. And this, I mean, this might be really obvious, but the guy I work with is a bit older than me, and we got chatting, and I said, "Oh, do you remember seeing the run about the riots and stuff? Do you remember seeing the marches through London during lockdown?" And he said, "No, I never. I mean, he's in normal. He watches normal TV." And he said, "No, I never. I didn't even know there were any matches." I says, "It was almost every Saturday, up to 1 million people." "No, I'm not aware of that." And I said, "Were you aware of the truckers in Canada?" "No." And I didn't realize how much they shielded all that from everybody. And I said, and then I thought, well, that could be the reason for this. They had no control over these 1 million people. And now they're bringing in new laws where they will have control, or they can stop them or do something about it.
And also, them 1 million people that were in London marching, they were of a mixed group of people. Some of them were Muslim, some of them were Jewish,
everybody.
Some of them were gay, some of them were black, some of them were white, exactly. Et cetera, et cetera.
You're and splitting now, those bastards up, don't we?
Compartmentalise everybody to be at each other's throats, so to speak.
Dom, you're not allowed to say compartmentalise in the Northern accent.
Yeah, Northern accent and compartmentalise don't go together.
Compartmentalise.
You couldn't be a Yorkshire rapper, could you?
No. But it almost seems, and maybe I'm being, it's a bit obvious, but it seems like these things have been brought in to bring in these new systems. And maybe it's because of them truckers and those people marching through London. Maybe they actually got a bit twitching.
You always look on
for
the bright side of stuff, don't you?
But maybe they got a bit twitching for, hang on a minute, if these bastards go around that street there, this could all turn very quickly. Because how are you going to stop 1 million people other than with a tank or tanks or whatever? You can't, can you?
Well, I mean, an interesting thing about so prior to there's so much that was leading up to this unrest that is dead fishy. Yeah. I mean, you've got Robinson so-called organising this demonstration at Trafalgar Square, where he showed his banned film making allegations about, a schoolboy fracas murder. You know, confrontation. I haven't seen
that was near us. That was in Almondbury in Huddersfield.
Oh, my friend.
Oh, well, that happened.
Yeah,
my mate Jim. He's his wife's a teacher there. Fine.
Right.
She went through a shitstorm with it all. She was actually in that school teaching. Yeah. I didn't even know it had happened to her. Honestly, she told me.
I remember it happening.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying about the marches. The mainstream media, the legacy—I call them the legacy media. Right, the legacy media—they had put drone footage out, and what they called the excessive scale of the demonstration. So this, right, bearing in mind, this is before anything's happened in Southport, right? The excessive scale of the demonstration and masses of far right people gathering in Trafalgar Square to listen to far-right influencer Tommy Robinson spout his anti-immigration rhetoric, right? So they're reporting this as if it's like something big, something massive is going on. And they shot this, they provided this drone footage. But when I looked at the drone footage was shot at about 100 feet, right? So it was only showing... And all you could see in the drone footage was maybe I sort of estimated maybe a few hundred, maybe a few more. I'm not saying that there was only a few hundred. I think there was probably a couple of thousand people there. But I mean, but the drone footage wasn't showing. You know, if you see the drone footage of much bigger marches, you know, the drone footage is usually taken a few 600-700 feet in the air, isn't it? So you get a big view of what's going on.
The drones must have been knackered during lockdown. Must have broken.
Yeah, they were tiny little. Yeah, but the point is, the same BBC and the Mail, as you quite rightly said, when it was the Unity March, which was I think was in the summer of 2021, where you know I attended that one, and I remember standing at the top of Oxford Street, sort of looking one way down towards Piccadilly and looking the other way back down to Oxford, down Oxford Street, and they were, and it was full. The like from side to side of the streets was full in both directions. So
It
that's,
was.
I think probably a million people's not far wrong.
I think that changed things, Ian, myself personally.
Yeah.
I think that must have changed things. And the fact that it wasn't reported on and no one knew about it. I mean, how amazing is that, that the media's got the power
One of the funny things, Chris, was
not to
when
show
all them
anywhere?
people were outside the BBC
Yes, shame on you, they were shouting,
shouting,
weren't they?
shame on
Shame on
you and
you.
all that,
Yeah.
wasn't even shown on the
Did
BBC News.
even pop a camera out a window.
No, no
Yeah.
iPhones out of the window from a BBC employer.
I mean, it's an it.
Mariana wasn't there.
It's absolutely, when you think about it, COVID, this, all this moment in time, it's amazing, isn't it? What they're actually covering up is
Parasites, yeah.
absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right at what you were saying about what is this all about. I mean, if you look, and I think there's a lot of confusion about the prosecutions, right? So there's this guy that was the first to be prosecuted, and everybody's saying that he's been banged up because he just for expressing his opinions online. Well, that's not quite true. He's actually been banged up for good old fashioned incitement, because he was urging people to go and attack a hotel full of asylum seekers. So, I mean, I've looked at the timeline of that, and it was after people had actually attacked the hotel. So it's difficult to say that he was instigating it, but he was certain. So it was in traditionally we would have called that incitement, right? And you could, well, that is an offence. I mean, if I wrote an article encouraging people to go and burn down a hotel, then I would expect to be prosecuted for that. You know, that is a
But
reasonable thing to be prosecuted
yes,
for.
the
It is.
story I've heard at work in my normal job is they've arrested a 70, 60, 70-year-old woman. But all they have to do is arrest 100 people. Don't mean to say they're all going to get done. They might only two of them might get done. But the drama is the exaggerated
Is the
arrests.
news stories, yeah.
Yeah. But the
Yeah.
ones that are going under the radar that people aren't talking so much about are the people that are being prosecuted under the Online Safety Act. So Spofforth, she hasn't been charged yet, as far as I know, or she hasn't been, but she's gonna be, she's, there's a new offence out called false communication, and that's under the Online Safety Act. Now, there's a rapper in Birmingham called Someone Cheesy or something, Someone Cheesy. He's been done for under the Online Safety Act. One guy called Dimitri Stoic has already been convicted under the Online Safety Act. And what he did was he shot a video. I mean, it was a stupid thing that he did, but I haven't seen the video. But he shot a video of himself sort of running away, like a kind of Keystone Cops thing, running away, claiming that he was being chased by far right rioters. Now, he's been banged up. He's got, I don't know, a lot, I think he's got a couple of years under the Online Safety Act. This is where I think why we've.
Dangerous place, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is why we've got all this stuff about riots allegedly being started by people speaking online. And then you get all these people throwing their toys out of the pram online because someone's been banged up for legitimate crimes. So quite a lot of the people that have been prosecuted, arrested and prosecuted, and are now being given sentences. Now, I'm not talking about the excessive amount of time that they're being given, because quite clearly there's a deterrent punishment element. They're being given excessively long sentences for relatively minor things. But nonetheless, you can see that you know, people are being prosecuted under the communications, the 1986 Communications Act, not under any new legislation, but there are people being prosecuted under this new legislation, and no one's really talking about that very much
And that's
because
possibly
that.
because they're being rushed through, aren't they? Nobody's been given time to consider what they're actually being charged with.
Yeah, and also the reporting on it is so crazy. Some people are saying that, people are being arrested for expressing their opinions. Well, that's not true. That isn't true. But other people are being arrested for very dangerous things that as a society we need to really worry about, because I mean, which are very close to people. Just at, I mean, one, I think part of the Online Safety Act charge that this rapper in Birmingham is facing is that his communication was offensive. So it's things like that that are being slipped in almost under the radar that nobody's really noticing, which is shifting us towards this society where our opinions will be policed. Our opinions will be policed.
Yeah, the
And
civilian society.
this whole sort of riot, people going crazy about the far right and all that kind of stuff, it's all being used as a smokescreen, in my opinion. As
Yes.
there is underneath that, they're slipping in this new legislation and putting it into practice, and they are locking people up for saying things that are offensive or bad jokes.
They'll probably get let out though, because they're gonna reduce they're gonna let people out, aren't they? They're sentencing people, and they'll probably get let out after a month.
Yeah,
Well,
I mean,
it's just insanity, isn't it?
The
Yeah,
other
it's
story is
crazy.
that they're letting out actual murderers and all sorts of horrible people to make room for these people. I mean, that sounds like a ridiculous story to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it does. But just tripping back, going back to 1970 and those riots, 17, sorry, and those riots. I remember reading the British government at that time, pre-World War One, were frightened that there was going to be some kind of revolution and kickback. There was a lot of upheaval going on around 1913, 14. In fact, I'm sure the hero Churchill said when the miners were on strike, fill the pits in with them. That's all they're good for, fill them in and basically just cover them all up and underground because they're useless eaters, basically. And I know there were a lot of people shot by the army, I think, in World War One when they went on strike as well. Burnt a lot of London down, didn't they?
Weren't there almost a kind of weren't they worried about a civil war
Yes.
in Merseyside in
Yeah.
1917?
And that ain't long ago. I know it's long ago, but I mean, we are still of an age where our grandparents were born around that time, to us, I mean, to my youngest and your youngest, Chris, it's like Back to the Future, or in Yorkshire, Back to the Future. But it is not that long ago. It's only about three, four generations ago, really. And they were on about talk of a revolution.
It makes you wonder, is that why First World War started?
Well, I actually think that
Is it out
1%.
of is it impossible to think that that could have been one of the reasons,
Well, no, I don't think it is, but the actual 1 or 3% that going back that are behind the curtain are terrified of a lot of people rising up, probably. The
Well,
downside is
like the million people marching through London. Can you
exactly,
imagine
yeah.
getting a bit
And the
twitchy,
truckers,
wouldn't you?
and the truckers,
And the truckers, yeah.
yeah. I mean, it's a similar sort of carry on, isn't it, with the truckers in Canada, the laws that got changed there, what Trudeau did when he brought those emergency laws in, and basically tracking people's credit cards and stopping their ability to buy things and what have you. It's a similar process now with this Online Safety Act, isn't it, really? That's what they're attempting to actually get to. That's the point they're at. Them emergency laws are what they actually want to make normal, aren't
Yeah. I mean, the IMF have already said that they would like to see people's social media browser history form part of their social credit score, which would form part of their actual credit score, like their financial monetary credit score. So the IMF have floated that. Oh, that was years ago. I mean, we're talking sort of 4 or 5 years ago. I think the IMF were talking about that. So, I mean, if you look at what happened in Canada, so you got a and this is something that I talk about quite a lot. I mean, I call it the public-private partnership, but it's this melding of the state, the political state, and private capital. So that literally happened in the truckers' protest, because in order for them to stop people being able to give money to support the truckers, which is what they did in Canada, they had to literally make it impossible for people to make the payments. So people literally, you couldn't like go to a GoFundMe page and pay some money, donate $10 to the truckers' protest. And that worked by the payment providers, private companies, and the banks private companies working together with the state to stop people being able to support the truckers. Now, when you that's what Mussolini called corporatism. It is, you know, this melding of the state and private capital and private and you know and private concerns. That's fascism. That you know that is you know that's at the core of you know the real kind of corporate fascism, as it as in you know the fascismo, the Mussolini's original kind of
And then if you throw into the
model.
mix the other prong of that three prong, the NGOs, which I suppose Mussolini probably didn't have at that particular point, but that brings in that what you class as rogue element to it that people haven't really got, or a charity for argument, they haven't really got a control. There are certain controls in business or supposed controls and government, but the NGOs seem to have a free rein to be able to go into any country and do anything that they want, unlicensed, backed up by the IMF or the World Bank.
Yeah, and you get a lot of NGOs, don't you? Like, oh, it's, I can't believe it escapes me. The CIA front, USAID, but there's the CIA NGO that
Well,
is
I
all.
forgot the name as well. I'm thinking of the investment arm, but yeah, there isn't. Yeah, anyway, but they're all, when you trace them all back, they're all funded by the same characters or being part of the same. I mean, going to say Jeff Bezos's granddad setting up DARPA. He was one of the founders of DARPA through, and he worked for ARPA that came up with DARPA, obviously, that made ARPANET the first internet, and then his grandson comes up with a brilliant idea to sell books in his garage,
Yeah.
just by coincidence.
But by using all these companies though, then the governments aren't blamable either. You know,
No.
by YouTube banning us or banning someone, it's not the government, it's a private company. It's like, I mean, it's like when they sent what is it into Iraq, wasn't it? Instead of just the military. Was it Blackwater?
Yeah,
They
Blackwater, yeah.
could get away with things that the military couldn't, because they couldn't.
Charging 200 quid for a can of Coke or whatever
Yeah,
it was.
but even though they're doing what the government are telling them, then the government aren't liable to get done because it's a private company. It's evil genius.
Yeah, and there's this idea of what the stakeholder capitalism. So this idea that you've got this kind of three-pronged new model of democracy. So you've got the state, you've got private interests, the corporations, and then you've got what they're calling civil society, which is, you know, rather than us going into a voting booth and electing anybody, electing representatives. Our interests are represented by the NGOs, so you know, like Greenpeace and Amnesty International, and these people, they apparently represent, you know, Just Stop Oil. They represent us instead of us. So we you know, so they go into this kind of decision making process, which is what stakeholder capitalism is supposedly all about. They go into this decision making process. And that's how we are represented in the decision-making process. But the problem with that is that the state's got all the power. The state's got the o is the only part of that model that can enforce its will on other people. The private entity's got all the money and all the financial power and all the economic power, and the civil society part of that equation's got bugger all. It's got
Yeah.
nothing. In fact, most of the NGOs that go into those kind of discussions are already bought and paid for by the private sector. So
Yeah.
it's a nonsense idea for how, you know, the future of society. I mean, you hear all these things about people talking about sorticians. So we're going to have these new assemblies that are controlled by sortition. I mean, they've already done this in London and elsewhere about these sortition assemblies that are discussing how best to achieve net zero, right? But of course, the question is, well, hang on a minute. You know, by virtue of even thinking about that, you're just basing that on an assumption that we should achieve net zero, right? So everything is framed. Like, you get the public are involved in this. So the public go into these sortition assemblies and they listen to experts who tell them about how important it is that they agree to go along with net zero. And then they all sit down and discuss how best to achieve net zero. It's
Yeah,
completely biased.
and generally, a lot of these people now that I've got a neighbour whose child, I won't say what, anyway, child has come out of university, trained in this global climate warming boiling change bollocks, and they're now inbred. If you snapped them in half like Blackpool Rock, they'd have that global climate warming change stamped through the genetics, if you like, and so they've been brainwashed into thinking that this. Is actually happening, and all the news stories are pumping out. I mean, we've been following that just recently, this last 18 months now, since they opened everything back up. They're now terrorizing people who are going on holiday in from different angles, whether it's freak weather accidents or easy jets turbulence, and somebody smashed their head on the roof, or blah blah blah. Something's happening on holiday. There's extreme heat, or even though it is always hot in Spain, I believe in the summer.
Well,
But
my
these are the
missus.
people that are driving this nonsense, aren't they? Because the reporters are the same as these people that are sitting on these boards, like you say, Ian, there.
My missus is doing a fine art degree, right? Oh, she's a mature student, but obviously she's always wanted to do
Did
it,
you
so
say
she's doing
mature?
it. Yeah. But she goes to the classes that they go to. One of the classes that nothing to do with art, she has to do a class in sustainability. But all those kids who are 18, straight out, 6, 17, 18, she's obviously 40. But a lot, there's a few mature ones, but most of them are kids. But they're told to go and do these classes on sustainable. What the hell has that got? It's got nothing. The
The man using
programming's.
oil paints, Chris.
Yeah. Just stop oil paints. But it's got nothing to do with anything. And there's a few of these classes that what I mean is they can continue entire education, and you've got to do these classes. It's part of your, it's a massive part of your final grade. It's got nothing to do with it. It's
Yeah.
insane.
I had a laugh when the government are toying with the idea of introducing what are they talking about? They're going on about introducing critical thinking into schools to combat the scourge
So
of hate.
what they're saying there is that up to now they've not taught any critical thinking whatsoever, and now
Yeah,
they're
no.
bringing it
Yeah,
in.
we forgot about that. I mean, the thing is, their model, I know what their model of critical thinking is going to be, because it's not going to be critical thinking, that's for
No.
sure. But their model is, because the UN has already announced, and what and this was in response to climate change, and I think this is in the our common agenda, the common agenda, which is based on Brundtland's Our Common Future. But this is the common agenda that the UN brought out about a year ago or so. You remember when Gutierrez stood up and said that the planet was literally boiling? Yeah, right. Is it? I look it out my window thinking,
You're
it's
going
not
to see,
boiling where I am.
you're going to see in Cleethorpes and tell them it's boiling.
Yeah. Well, it's bloody freezing here at the
It's
moment.
freezing,
It's
isn't it?
terrible.
I've got
Yeah.
an hoodie
Coldest
on.
August ever. Anyway, all that nonsense. But they spoke about the need for critical thinking in schools and laid out how students would be able to exercise critical thinking, and it was all based upon the student being able to identify trusted sources.
Ah, that's
Now,
where we're going wrong.
that's when we're going wrong, see? So it's not actually about them being able to think critically at all. It's about them being able to identify trusted sources and where they could get their news from, trusted, because the UN,
I'll tell you where they can get trusted sources from. Nando's.
Nando. They can't get them from my local kebab shop. I know that. They definitely can't get trusted sources from there.
No, they generally go through you
Although
like a Porsche.
yeah, exactly. I love those sources. If they're watching it, I love those sources. But I can't trust them. That's for sure.
Tornadoes
Yeah,
afterburner.
exactly. The ring of fire, the ring. Yeah. But yeah, so there's no the idea that the government, I mean, the I think that personally, the idea that the government should even go anywhere near telling us what critical thinking is, like, well, if you're telling me, well, how's that critical? I reserve the right to be critical of what you're telling me. But that's not part of it, is it?
No, that's not part of it. You can't question that. That's disinformation. I mean, according to the thinking now, two mixed race questioners of the government are now far right extremists. Whereas when we were growing up, the National Front, we had to avoid those guys with 18-year-old docs on because they'd kick your head in.
A swastika tattooed on
Yeah.
the neck.
Apparently, although I did know quite a few of them, they're just nice lads.
I said that to one of the guys at work over there. Said I'm now a right wing extremist. He pissed himself. I said, "Must be one of the first darky right wing
I remember. I mean, that's another thing as well. The way they're talking about the far right now. When I was young, I mean, I remember like Combat 18 and all that. Now, I'd say
Yeah.
they were pretty far right.
They were pretty over the right.
They were definitely far right.
But
But
you were never scared of them, were you? No, like you didn't
every
feel
now
like
and
there was
again
an
there were a
immediate
march. Every
danger.
now and again there were a march, weren't there? Through Leeds or what have you, but
Well, I used to remember the old go the Bash the Fash marches. Going, I remembered all that, and I was pretty scared.
Yeah,
But
but
they
at least you knew where you stood, though, because you knew
yeah, you
they
knew
meant
you were
it,
going to
didn't
get, yeah, they meant
they?
it, yeah. But I mean,
Well,
the notion of the way that they're pushing the far right at the moment, and they're just further disenfranchising people, aren't they? Because you know, there's so many people that have legitimate concerns about what's going on in their communities who can't. I mean, I was amazed by Keir Starmer's response to what he said about what happened in Southport. So if you look at what happened in Southport, there was a vigil, right? There was a vigil for following on the 30th that went on to about half past 7 in the evening. Now there were a good 2,000 odd people at that vigil, and when Keir Starmer turned up at Southport, he was really heckled by people. They were heckling him, and there were a lot of sort of local media reports about, you know, the tension. You could sense that the tension was there at the vigil. Then afterwards, people that had obviously been bussed in from outside, agent provocateurs, had come in to kick off, and they attacked a mosque and they started smashing up businesses. But so Keir Starmer, in response to that, although he said, you know, that the peaceful people of Southport's legitimate protests have been hijacked and blah blah blah, one of the things he said in his national TV address was, now is not the time to answer their questions. So you just kind of think, if you're the, you know, where, so when is the time? When is the time to answer these questions?
Everything's just word salad that comes out of these people's mouths.
Yeah.
Everything. They're just, again, as we know, spokespeople. I mean, George Carlin said it about 20 odd years ago, didn't he? They're all spokespeople for the power source, whoever they are behind. And they're probably, there's three layers back before they were even being touched with it. They're as surplus to requirements as we all are at times, I think. But Keir Starlin, he does. He doesn't scare me as a human being, but what he's willing to do to get into power,
It's
that
what they
is
brought him in to do. He's
total.
more to the
Like
point
one
for
of
that.
those teenage pop stars, wannabe pop stars, will do anything to sell the soul to become famous. He reminds me of one of those people that will do anything to get into power. Anything, literally.
I think he's been brought in for this specific reason, to be honest. I think that was what he was lined up for all along.
Like
Sunak.
Johnson, like Johnson, was lined up to be brought in for 2020. And he probably didn't realise what he was getting himself into. Thought we're going to get us out, go do the Brexit thing, and make everybody happy because he's a good time Charlie. And he had that landed on his lap because he looked very uncomfortable at times, did Johnson, during that process. But he's a lying bastard, so.
Yeah, and that don't and he also over obviously went over to Ukraine
Yes.
and made sure that the war continued
Yes.
when there was a good chance that it didn't have to.
As our Chris calls it, the rusty tank war.
The rusty tank war.
Well,
Yeah.
he's meant to be a massive war that's gone on for over a year and the very limited
3 years
footage.
now.
Is it 3 years now? Bloody hell,
Something
yeah.
like that, yeah. Going on
Limited
for.
footage of any actual war going on, I would say.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, you can see a whole place going up in flames, and it's shown on TV constantly. And there's none of that in, you don't see any of that on mainstream TV. And not that I watch any, but I don't see any real people sending me videos in
I ain't
of
seen any
any of that.
footage of a Russian soldier.
Yeah.
Personally. I mean, I might be wrong, but
I mean,
I
one of the things as well that Starmer that you know, so when the people when it all kicked off in you know recently, that was on the day, the 29th, that was the day that Reeves announced the £22 billion black hole in public finances.
another 22.
Yeah, another.
What is it? World Trade Center familiar,
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. So, her statement that got buried because of what happened, and then the next day was the day that they announced what they were going to do about it, which was, you know, basically cutting pensioners, access to sort of free winter fuel allowances, so kicking the pensioners again, and also cutting services, so the very things that the people in these areas are suffering from, a lack of investment, cutting all that, cutting investment in transport infrastructure, which is one of the main complaints of the people that live in these areas. You know, they announced that on the day of the so-called unrest starting. So again, burying bad news on the day that it happened.
Well, again, you can't tell me that a new Labour government that's getting a handover. They don't just cut, right, you're out, we're in, and that's it. There's a handover. There must be a handover. There's got to be a handover in any sort of relationship that's been handed the baton. And a 22 billion black hole is not like losing a bag of change out of your pocket, is
Yeah, no, and
it?
it's all about projected spending as well, isn't it? It's all about these commitments that they've made to spending that they can't fund. But then,
Magical accounting, like the guy whose yacht apparently turned over amazingly and lost everybody on board.
that was due to climate change, wasn't it?
Apparently, yeah, that's global climate warming bollocks change, yeah.
Global warming, warm things.
But the magic, that magic black hole where they've just literally found 22 billion to hammer people around the head with, we don't know if that's real anyway. Which I'm sure it
No.
isn't in some ways, because the magic money machine doesn't matter anyway, because they just conjured 500 and odd billion up in 2020 and 2021 to hammer us with for the next 200 years, probably. So they could do
Yeah,
that
no,
anyway.
it's all Mickey Mouse stuff, isn't it? It's all made up anyway. So, I mean, what she's saying projected expenditure can't be covered, right? But that's only if you follow those specific expenditure commitments and you don't know what you're going to get in revenue anyway, really. So, I mean, it's all nonsense. But the point is, when Starmer said that now is not the time to answer the questions of the people that are upset about what's going on, only a few days prior to that, he'd announced an annual £3 billion a year investment in Ukraine, in weapons, you know, weapons to Ukraine. So on the one hand, you know, some of the people that are going to receive the benefit of some of that money that is coming from the British taxpayer include, not all, but include a minority of real Nazis.
Yes.
Like real, genuine
Genuine Nazis.
Nazis,
Yeah. Proper
right?
Zeke Heil goose
Proper
stepping.
goose-stepping Nazis, right? They're going to be the recipients of some of that military aid. So, on the one hand, they're saying they're opposed to the far right, which has been blown out of all proportion in the UK, while at the same hand, and saying that they can't afford the funding for essential services in the places that are worst affected by population explosion, and giving money at the same time to foreign real Nazis. So it's the hypocrisy is
It's off the
just
scale. It hurts your head sometimes, Ian. No,
gobsmacking.
but it does hurt your head sometimes, doesn't it? The actual stupidity, well, it's not even stupidity, but the absurdity of what's going on does hurt your head at times.
So it's always gone on, but now it's just it's so blatant. It's impossible not to see it, isn't it?
They're attacking us with so much psychological warfare at the moment. They're coming at from so many different angles. I'll say compartmentalised. so many different angles that, you know, it's difficult. Even for anybody who's not necessarily like-minded who's listening now, but a normie must be absolutely banjoed with all this stuff. Absolutely. They don't know which way to turn. I mean, me, from my personal perspective, I like standing back and thinking and watching because it is an interesting time to be alive. It is an interesting time. The last 4 or 5 years. We can't say it isn't interesting because it certainly is. Yeah. Go on, sorry, Ian. Go on.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it is a great time to be kind of interested in what's going on in the world around you. But as you were saying earlier, Chris, I mean, how many people that, you know, you're talking about, you know, what quote unquote, you know, the mainstream population, the normies, whatever you want to call them, what they think, what do they know about what's going on? I mean, that's more the point, isn't it? Because they're not being, it's certainly if you're reliant upon the BBC and the mainstream media, what you're told is just total guff. All of it's complete garbage.
So the propaganda arm of the government, that's all it is, isn't it? The one party government, not a two party.
So, I mean, if you're relying on that, I mean, I've got friends in, you know, and family members that are pretty, you know, I mean, my not so much in my family, but in my my partner's family, I mean, you know, her family are some well-educated people, you know, like professors and, well, not professors, but physics professors at university, teaching kids at university and stuff. And they just, like, they watch the BBC, read The Guardian, and pontificate about what's going on in the world, and I want to throttle them.
Yeah, that's a good way of summing it up, that is.
About.
Yeah. I got a lift the other day and I was talking to somebody I've known for quite a while, and he was talking about that yacht that's capsized, and a total different conversation, but he said, yeah, and it capsized and he was a guy that sold autonomy for 11 billion and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but did you know all his entire defence team went down with it? Oh, no. And his other business partner got run over in Cambridge on Saturday and killed. No, I didn't know that. That sounds a bit odd. But they look at all the yacht builders actually come out and said, and it's obviously we heard this nonsense in 1911 or wherever it was, that boat was unsinkable by that kind of thing. And an old Italian fisherman says, I've been caught in squalls like that. It's nothing in my little boat. But anyway, that's another story. I'm sure there'll be some research on that at some point, maybe by myself or somewhere else.
It's quite, you know, when you hear people actually talking about what's going on, it's kind of upsetting because they're quite passionate about it, aren't they? Like, yes. Elections, but they're only getting their information from one source. If they were to span out a bit, I suppose GB News turned up, didn't it? So you thought you were getting an alternative.
No, we realised that pretty early on. The funders of GB News are just, I think, is it the Levantine? Levantine NGOs?
Top TV, is it?
HTV. Yeah. They're all over the global climate bollocks change and World Economic Forum and stuff like that. So even if some of the people are genuine on GB News, and I'm sure they are, I do believe that the background, that's what going back to who you write for, Unlimited Hangout, that it's some kind of limited hangout is GB News, that a fringe magnet that draws people to it and away from what they should be really looking into. Because the more the mainstream lies, it has to have these things, doesn't it? It has to have them. The fringe magnets that draw people to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few politicians you might look at for that and say a similar sort of thing. I mean, I think Nigel Farage personally is one of them.
I think, because you look
what happened to UKIP when after Brexit. UKIP after Brexit were on the verge of becoming, I mean, you know, they could have become the third party in Britain. They were on a course to become a significant political force in Britain. And what did he do?
He blew it
to pieces.
Yeah,
and I think he often, what he seems to do to me is he puts himself up as a kind of a leader, a populist leader. People kind of throw it's all to maintain their kind of engagement in the system, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they think, oh, who should we follow? Oh, let's follow him. He seems to know what he's talking about. Mm. So they follow him. He leads them down a cul-de-sac. He absorbs all their energy for a number of years, and they get all excited about, campaigning for him or whatever. And then he just leads them nowhere. And then they
Yeah.
end up being disillusioned and looking around for somebody else to follow.
That's right. Like sheep, dare we say it.
Yeah. Giving the illusion that politics is a little bit broken, or not, it's all just a bullshit lie.
Yeah. Well, we've got to go down that road. Yeah. We've got to go down that road, haven't we? Because, I mean, the majority of the population don't even vote.
Well,
So.
we got a government in at the moment. It's got a massive majority in there. It's got, 170
Apparently.
plus seat majority,
Yeah.
right? Seven. I mean, there's some. I know that the BBC and people like that said that the turnout was 60%. Well, that's only if you conclude all registered voters. If you then take into account all the unregistered voters, then it was 52%, which means that 48% of the population didn't vote for anyone at all. And that outnumbers the people that did vote for the government by about 3 to 1, because it was 17.5% of the electorate voted for the government. 17.5%.
Yes.
So we've got a government with a huge majority, which can do practically anything it likes for the next 5 years, because what can anybody else do about it? And more than 80% of the British people didn't want it.
Wonder how the people that didn't vote, the 48% or whatever it is anyway,
And are
50%,
their
half of
figures
it.
even real fat? That's
No,
another
but
thing, isn't it?
let's just say they are for a
Yeah.
second, right? I wonder how many of them people didn't vote because the thought is fucking pointless. These lot are just a set of tossers. You know, that'd be an interesting number to know, wouldn't it? Or were they out on piss and just forgot to vote? You know, 10%, 5% of them type of thing. But I bet the majority of them didn't vote because they just don't trust the system.
Well, I didn't. I
I
didn't
didn't.
vote.
Yeah, I didn't vote. I mean, I've
Yeah.
never voted ever.
No.
And like you say about Farage, he's like he almost looks like an actor. Like they've dressed him up to look like a politician, but just slightly off kilter, where he's
Well, he
got a
goes
bit
for
of
a
a shit.
pint and fit as fish and chips, doesn't he?
Yeah,
And
and
what have you,
he's
you
got
know?
a slightly shitty, silky, silky polyester looking suit, and
Yeah.
sprayed his teeth yellow just to make him look a little bit,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like he might be one a normal person, but he's. Yeah, I think he's a plant, to be fair, like you
Well, I
say.
mean, he's not. I mean, another thing. I mean, he's the sort of. He's got his pint of beer and he smokes his fags and he's a
Yeah.
man of the people. Man of the people. He's a bloody city trader.
Yeah.
But,
What does all that nonsense mean anyway? You're
and
either
he's done
right,
nothing, has he?
yeah,
He's done
either
nothing.
morally right or you're not. And he isn't. Because he still doesn't speak out and say, right, he's a city trader and a banker, so he must know about finance. He still doesn't say who gets the interest that gets paid back to the Bank of England. He knows that that's not real, right? That we don't own the Bank of England. He didn't speak about any of them. Any politician that doesn't speak about that are just lying bastards. And I say, out of 600 and odd people, all of them are lying bastards.
Yeah. It's not even a
Yeah.
conversation, is it? It's not even a
No.
conversation brought up.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder about how many politicians are clueless and how many of them know what's going on. I think there's a fair number that are pretty clueless. That they just go in there believing all the party rhetoric and thinking that they can do well out of it.
A lot of them are
Yes.
just bought, though, aren't they? They're bought. They've been given a cushy number.
Yeah.
And if they disagree with the system, i.e., for COVID or Russia or giving money to Ukraine or Israel, if they go against that system, they're out. And they've got a cushy, nice number,
What
really,
is it?
let's be
100,
honest.
100 grand a year, 120
100
grand a
grand a
year?
year, all the benefits, all the extras, all the bells and whistles. And if you disagree, and they'll be sitting there thinking, I don't agree with giving money to Israel to bomb a load of children. But if I disagree, I could lose my fucking house. So, I mean, we've seen it a number of times. We've seen it with doctors during con. We've seen it with everybody. This is the bought without even knowing the bought, aren't they? I just want to stay comfortable, nice and safe and comfortable. I'm happy. I'm not even lying. I'm just not saying anything, you
Right.
know. Yeah.
We're coming into the second hour, so I want to start talking about the trial of Richard D. Hall, if we can call it a trial, Ian,
Yeah.
and the articles that you wrote.
Oceans and skies. When be for me.